Enough it stuff.
Hey Pijuju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chami, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Shombe from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. And thank you for tuning in. Thank you for tuning in to Business and Economic Segment. And this is your program that we discuss global affairs. We discuss issues of the economy. And we discuss what is happening around the country, what is happening in the continent of Africa, and indeed what is happening around the world. It's a Friday. And, you know, we are greeting you wherever you are finding yourself. The fact that you tune in to Eagle FM Namibia, your number one favorite radio station in Namibia, your talk show, we are happy. And the fact that, you know, you can listen to us, it's quite a significant decisions that you have made, because here is where we discuss issues deeply. And we allow constructive conversation. We allow constructive conversation, particularly on issues that advancing continental interests, particularly on economy, on governance, and on trade issues. And yeah, we see there is a lot of things happening around. We understand that the president of the country is in Brazil attending COP20, this conference of party, the annual meeting where you find various global leaders who are attending to define the future of the world, particularly when it's coming to issues of climate change and also sustainable development. Because when you speak about issues of climate change and sustainable development, it's now a non-negotiable matter that all the states in the world, particularly those who are in line with international development and international institution, must move toward renewable energy, so that when it comes to emission of greenhouse gases, they are limited, and sustainable development is a development that does not affect negatively the environment, and also does not affect human health, and also look at development which can be sustained, not based on using chemicals which can have impact on animals and also human beings. Quite a big development. And we also have to see the position of Namibia, particularly when the president is going to deliver a speech either today or tomorrow. And you have to remember that this is the first time. It's the first time the president of the country attending COP30. Or attending a COP summit, especially as a president. So yeah, and the conversation for today is based on countries in Africa driving toward readjustment in terms of their economic strategy, readjustment in terms of the way they deal with their economic recovery, especially in ownership of natural resources, and take a key stage in international trade, especially when it comes to selling and buying of minerals. Because Africa, being known as the richest continent in the world with a mineral deposit of uncountable minerals, and contribute over 30% of global minerals to the world, although based on the report by African peer review mechanism, particularly on management and governance of nature resources, only 15% of value added to mineral resources exported from Africa returned back to Africa. That is a question of concern. And to see in 2025 and moving forward, what are some of the key decisions that African leaders are taking? And today's conversation is based on the move by our neighbor Angola, who launched a significant bid to purchase 85% stake in diamond producer De Beer, and currently held Anglo American PLC, and is indicated that at this stage, the Angolan owned gem company Ediama has submitted a proposal in advancing talk, according to the CEO Manuel Ganga Jr. Now, in that context, one will also be able to see that when it's coming to the shift in terms of the thinking and also shift in terms of the way business is being done in Africa, one will also be able to see African leaders have realized that although we have wealthy, we have richness in terms of mineral resources, it's quite unfortunate that those who benefit from the mineral resources of Africa are those who add value, and value ended outside the country means that work transported outside the country, and it's those countries human capital, or is those countries employees who get money when they are processing, adding value, coming up with materials and also products from our mineral resources. But looking at a proposal move, particularly from Angola, one will also be able to say that in terms of that, there is also a lesson that Namibia should also learn from Angola, and there is also a lesson that other African countries should also learn, especially those with rich mineral deposits. But maybe the question that you need to ask yourself is that which country in Africa does not have mineral resources? Because although in terms of poverty, although in terms of inequality, Africa is leading. Africa hosts the most unequal states in the world in terms of economic distribution, and also is a continent which hosts or which has a lot of citizens which are suffering.
Great news! Import just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
A lot of citizens which are suffering of poverty, but you need to be able to understand that due to that strategic decision, one will also be able to ask to say which other countries need to revive, or which other countries need to change, particularly the way they approach their mining industry. We have to be able also to see that, looking for example at Sahel region, looking at Burkina Faso, looking at Mali, looking at Senegal, you'll be able to understand that when the military took over civilian government, some of the center of pronunciation, particularly by the leaders who took over, such as the leader of Burkina Faso, the well-known Captain Ibrahim Traore, one of the things is to make sure that you nationalize the mining, and make sure that government took control of the state resources, and improve the way business have been done, particularly those business which were tied, to, you know, previous colonies. Now there's a question of concern and a critical question that we need to ask, because when you look at Angola, Angola is, has a richness in terms of oil deposit and also diamond and other minerals. But the move from Angola to propose or to bid having stakes of 85% in the beer, this is not, something that is, does not require critical assessment. It's something that should be praised. And it's also something that, you know, every discussion, particularly when it comes to discussion of transformation and ownership of natural resources, should be advanced, and also to see what can we learn from that, because Angola is doing exactly what the report of governance of natural resources by the African Union has stated, to say although majority of minerals are exported from Africa, it's only 15% of value added that is benefiting Africa. And also to say state and state institutions must be given power to manage natural resources, and those natural resources to benefit people equally, and for Africa to reach its prosperous future. So before we go dive deep into the conversation, I want you to listen to this news, and after that I would also want you to listen from the speech of the president of Botswana, to understand the perspective, to say where are these African leaders want to take their country, and what is the benefit of negotiating with power and negotiating with resources that we have. And on top of that, we are also going to look at the way forward, to see in terms of Namibia, in terms of South Africa, what is the policy position, particularly in this changing world where there is a global shift in terms of the way international trade is being done, and also in terms of global alliance, especially when emerging economy are also realizing that it is enough with the old way of doing things, whether it's dealing with international financial institution, whether it's reformation of international institution, but this is a new way for Africa. Let us look at this news, and from there we can also go and also check at what President of Botswana has to say, particularly regarding mineral acquisition, and also adding value to the products of their country. Remember that in the world, when it's coming to the highest producers of minerals, Botswana too is the second highest producer of diamond, and one of the countries which produce most expensive diamonds in Africa. And looking at the global economy, you'll be able to realize that even one of the factors which caused a country like Namibia to be downgraded is a downgrade or the change in the price of pure diamond due to the competition from synthetic or lab-made diamond. However, let us look at this conversation, then we can come and extend the conversation.
Angola has launched a significant bid to purchase the 85% stake in diamond producer De Beers currently held by Anglo-American PLC. The Angola state-owned gem company, Endiama, has submitted a proposal and is advancing talks, according to its CEO, Jose Manuel Ganga Jr. Anglo-American valued De Beers at approximately $4.9 billion after recording impairments amounting to $3.5 billion over the past 2 years. Anglo-American has been seeking to divest its majority share in De Beers for around 17 months. The bid pits Angola against other interested parties, including the government of Botswana, which already owns 50% of De Beers and retains a right to match external offers. Botswana's president, Duma Boko, described any acquisition as a matter of economic sovereignty. Angola's interest signals a shift in strategy, previously focused on securing a minority stake and partnering with Botswana. The country now appears intent on taking a controlling position.
Yes, we are moving forward with business and economic segment. And those are some of the development, particularly when Angola want to make a bold move, especially toward buying of, over 80% of the stakes in the beer. And one of the things that we need to understand is that this is going to be a game changer, because when you look at Botswana is one of the top or the highest producer, top largest producer of diamonds in terms of value, in terms of rigging, in terms of carats of diamonds, is at number 2, following Russia. And in that list you also have Canada and the Democratic Republic of Congo. And when you look at Angola is making a strategic move, because at the beginning Angola was aiming to have minority shares, but now they put on a proposal of 85% stake in the beers. What you need to know is that the beer, being a multinational company, particularly South Africa and British controlled company, that is a company that was founded by Cecil Rhodes, and these are some of the some of the, you know, former billionaires in terms of diamond control. And it is very interesting also to see that De Beers control around 85% of diamond production in the world, and also the trades of diamonds. And Angola bidding or bidding for 85% in De Beers will be a game changer and will turn the cards around, because currently, as we are speaking, Botswana has 15% of the stakes in De Beers. And you must be able also to understand that the reason of controlling this company, or the reason of buying stake in this company, is to own the production, to own the trade, and also to control in terms of the value of products that are being sold, especially from diamonds. And it's going to increase the economy of Angola significantly if these bids go forward, if what is stated to be on the table become what is ought to be. And we'll see, because remember, Angola have a refinery in terms of oil refinery. Angola, you know, the Ngungura that you are buying, Angola is too busy refining its oil. And you must be able also to understand that countries such as Zambia have bought some of the shares, around 25% of the shares in their refinery, such as Robito Refinery and many other refinery. And we need to understand that when it comes to Angola, in terms of the economic strategy, I think the government of João Around Lenzo is looking at ways on how to advance Angolan economy, and also maybe to see how the population of Angola going to benefit from this. This is just a bid. It's just a bid. It's a proposal to see I'm able and I want to buy shares. Because remember, the BS in recent years, due to the price of diamond changing, and also due to the changes in global affairs, you can also speak about, you know, lab-made diamonds, and also global changes. De Beers decided to diversify its stakes in the world. That's why countries such as Angola is bidding. And maybe one will also be able to ask that, how is the future of trade of diamond going to be? And also, how is the future of the economy of Angola going to be? Maybe in also in SADC region, because if this go through, and you already have one of the biggest refineries being built in Angola, and Angola will be a game changer. And in terms of SADC, South Africa should also be able to look, you know, also be able to look behind and also see who is coming there if it's not Angola. Now, the question is now, when you have Botswana being the second highest producer of diamond, and also being the country which is at top of producing high value diamonds in the world, has also been negotiating. And it seems like, Duma Boko is also pushing to get over 50%, but we are yet to see the development moving forward. Now, when countries in Southern Africa are looking at this development, one of the questions that you may be able to ask is also that, how is this going to benefit an ordinary person? How this is going to benefit an ordinary SME, and also how this is going to benefit, you know, the future of Africa continental free trade area, particularly on the ground that when it's coming to diamond, it's coming to controlling of the economy, Angolans and people of Botswana wanted to have full control of the means of production. Because remember, you are the highest producer of diamonds, and you don't have any control, or you have minority control of the sales, you have minority control of the production, you have minority control of exploration, and you also have minority control of, you know, value addition to your products. So that's why, in terms of the future of Africa, you will be able to look at this. I want you to get another perspective, especially from the views of Duma Boko, and you make your own analysis, and also bring it to the perspective of Namibia to say, is it only diamond where people are negotiating about owning the majority shareholdings, or is it only diamond where presidents of those countries are moving toward controlling of the shares within those industries? Because without Africa, some of these international companies will not be effective as they are. But when you look at their turnaround, when you look at their revenue, when you look at how they make profit, you must also be able to ask your question that, how come for over 200 years that when it's coming to mineral production in Africa, Africans are still at the edge of receiving those, benefit, and some they do not receive any benefit at all. And it's quite a pity, but let us look at what Tumaboko has to say, particularly in the case regarding this development. And this was an interview which done recently, immediately after he got into power, and also when he started negotiating to say it's not correct, it's not right, it can't be possible that Botswana only have 15%, and when the price of diamond goes down, or when the international factors affect the price of diamond, is Botswana who is suffering, is also Namibia who is suffering, and other diamond producing nations such as DRC and many other countries. And also to look at the perspective to see that when this happen, what is the next, what is the way forward, and also how is it this going to bring innovation, particularly when it's coming to the industry of mining. So let us look at Tumaboko and move forward.
Anglo holds 85% stake in De Beers, and Botswana, the government of the Republic of Botswana, holds 15. We are resolute now, and we've communicated a firm intention to increase our stake in De Beers to a controlling stake, that is upwards of 50%.
Would you go higher than that? Would you?
We will. We'll be over. Yes, we'll go higher.
Why?
But because we want to have effective control of the industry. We want our voice to be heard. It's a matter of economic sovereignty for Botswana. Is absolutely imperative for Botswana.
Großartige Neuigkeiten. Imba ist jetzt noch besser geworden. Wir haben brandneue Funktionen hinzugefügt, um dein Erlebnis noch reibungsloser, schneller und leistungsstärker zu machen als je zuvor. Bereit, das volle Potenzial von Imba freizuschalten? Erhalte alle exklusiven Funktionen für nur 36 Namibia-Dollar pro Monat oder spare noch mehr mit unseren speziellen Abonnementplänen. 5% Rabatt bei einem 3-Monats-Abonnement, 10% Rabatt bei einem 6-Monats-Abonnement oder 25% Rabatt bei einem 12-Monats-Abonnement. Wähle den Plan, der am besten zu dir passt, und genieße alles, was Imba zu bieten hat, zu einem unschlagbaren Preis. Imba, where the world congregates. Lade es herunter und abonniere noch heute.
It is absolutely imperative for Botswana at this point particular to get to take a more active role and increase its stake.
Where do you get the funds from now?
We have lined up a number of potential collaborators with us, if I may put it that way. We have targeted funders, we have artists, we have the Oman Sovereign Wealth Fund, we have others who are willing and ready to come on board with us. So we are more than ready for the transaction, and we've said the transaction must be.
Yeah, we are continuing the conversation. We are continuing the conversation, particularly regarding the ownerships of the means of production, because at the end of the day, somebody must own the means of production, particularly those people who are in need, especially those people who are from that country. Because when it's coming to the business of diamonds, not is few Namibians to none who can really tell you that I'm into this business legally, and this is how I do things, particularly in the business of diamonds. Few who has polishing companies, few who have shares in cutting companies, and most of these things are being done either by the state, which has less percentage, and few to no control over the controlling of the price, and also what is needed in the market. But when you look at Angola, you look at Agora in terms of its move, particularly when it's come to acquisition of shares in the mining industry, particularly controlling of the beers, then that is a positive development. Now, the question that we should also ask is that apart from Angola acquiring shares in the beers, acquiring majority control or take control of over 50% of the stakes. If that move become the reality, if that negotiation become the reality, what else can other African countries do to make sure that when it's coming to the ownership or the means of production, when it's coming to utilization of natural resources, they have acquired what need to be acquired? Because remember, one of the statements at public-private sector forum is that the president of the country, Meme Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah, indicated to say we must use our resources as our bargaining power when we are negotiating with investors, and we must never ever negotiate with poverty mentality, especially when it's coming to natural resources of the country, because wealth of the country should be directly benefiting the people within that country. Because if people speak to you about the numbers, these people speak to you about the money, the value of minerals being transported from the country every day, you will not believe it. If people speak about the quality, the usage, the end product of the minerals that are being transported from the country, you wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't want to understand that number. You think it's a movie. You think it's a joke. You think it's not a reality, but it's what it is. But how come wealthy nations such as DRC, such as Sudan, Libya, Angola, and many other countries are not even upper middle income countries? How come they are at that stage? Is because there is strategic economic resources that is owned by somebody who is not them. I want you to take time and read a few academic articles regarding development in Burkina Faso. Look at Mali. Then you'll be able to understand that transformation or bold moves cannot just be done by anybody. But at the end of the day, if you have done a bold move, you will never leave your people without anything. That's why when you look at the production of gold, for example, now in or the revenue in terms of production of gold in Burkina Faso is doubling. Uranium is doubling. Look at Mali. And also look at other countries. Then you are also asking yourself to say, if this happened, what is the future looking like? If this happened, what is the future looking like of Africa? But there's also an interesting part that the report by AU, particularly in line with African peer review mechanism on natural resource management, have stated to say, weak governance make it difficult for African states to manage natural resources. Weak governance and influence of state-owned enterprises in management of its natural resources. Not only diamond, we spoke about marine. And we do not even need to go far. If you speak about weak governance in terms of management of natural resources, you don't need to go far. Look at Namibia. Look at companies which own and control the fishing industry on behalf of the state for the benefit of Namibian people. Look at companies which are responsible for controlling of the oil industry for the state on behalf of the Namibian people. Look at companies which are controlling the diamond sector. It's up to you to interpret whether that that report is true or is one-sided. But the reality is there in front of you, which is indicating that for Africa to take care of its natural resources, we need strong institutions, and we also need to reform our SOEs, because there is never a country that have developed without strong SOE. There is never. Because SOEs have two categories. They have regulators. You have also those who are profit-making. who are in business. But how many of our SOEs are in fully operational without any scandals? You know, yesterday I was reading somewhere where an investment was lost. And, you know, it's quite very critical also to understand that, you know, around 800 million was lost. And some one journalist said, no, it's almost a million. The person said, no, I mean, it's almost a billion. No, it's not a billion. People are defending it's not a billion. It's not even a question of either it's almost a billion or it's not a billion. It's a question of how are we managing our own resources? How are we managing our own resources? How are we managing our funds? How are we managing our assets? Because if we manage our asset very well, we wouldn't be here discussing that. We would here be discussing other things to say, a reform, or maybe advance at a certain level, not completely change everything. But that is where the conversation is, and we have to go back and also look at what other things were presented by that report, and we also need to make sure that we connect that conversation to, you know, to the conversation for today, especially when Angola want to be a big man of resources, which is quite important. And also maybe to ask the question is to say, when Angola become a majority stakeholder in the BS, what is the benefit of Namibians in selling of diamonds, in adding value to diamonds? Are we going to shift our trade? Are we going to appreciate more what Angola is doing? And what maybe can we learn from Angola? Because Angola have been giving us good lessons, but we do not want to learn. When you look at Angola, we only think about a few negative things. But Angola has a lot of lessons to teach us that it's only bold moves that you can take your people out of poverty. And that is a country that was torn by war, civil war, political unrest for many years. And also defended Namibia during the time of Nixon. So that is the lesson that we need to learn. So, yes, we are continuing with the business and economic segment. We are looking at how Angola is making bold move, especially in acquiring 85% shares in the BS. And it's a proposal, it's a bid, it's a proposal to bypass even the second highest producer of diamond in the world, Botswana. And the other thing is also that maybe the question that we need to ask, maybe the question that we need to ask is that what is that African countries have realized, and for how long it has been very difficult for them to acquire those shares in the Beers company. Now, I want you to go back and look at, for example, platinum. Look at South Africa. South Africa is the highest producer of platinum in the world. And do your own research and also ask yourself the question to say, who own majority shares in South African platinum industry? Is Anglo American company. At what percentage of shares does that company own? Platinum in South Africa. You can also go and check in Zimbabwe. Who is in control? What companies are in control of platinum? Industry, and what are they used for? And how can we move forward? How can we learn from Angola? How can we learn from Botswana? How can we do things differently to make sure that when it comes to development, we are not looking outside, but we are looking inside with a clear vision to say, if we negotiate very well without a poverty mindset, then we can be able to achieve what's need to be achieved, and we can be able to send our kids to better schools, we can be able to improve our economy, and we can be able to change the quality of education that we give, so that we should not just only be dependent on the shares or the small percentage of revenue that is coming due to us selling raw materials outside the country, but due to the main industries that we are building within the country. Now, I want you to take a self paced study where you are studying industries, where you are studying key resources, either is in Namibia, either is in DRC, either in South Africa, either is Zimbabwe, Botswana, and many other African countries, and ask yourself the question that who own majority shares in the minerals of Africa, and what is the debate about, particularly when it's coming to the ownership of minerals in Africa, when it's coming to the ownership of natural resources. Look at marine resources. Look at, for example, in the fish industry. Who are the key players there? Who own the vessels? How many vessels have we bought? Who own the vessels? Who own the main business? And who dictate what and when? Because at the end of the day, although I'm not fully with principles of leftist, which are speaking about nationalizing of everything, but I'm not a pure capitalist that want few people to own the means of production. But if the economy is defined by African characteristics and African need, whether you can say it's a mixed economy is up to you. But as long as those resources, as long as the value of those resources are benefiting the Namibian people. And I'm always interested in the financial situation. I'm always interested in numbers. I'm always interested in how revenue is working, particularly at the state level, and also how institutions are doing business. Because remember, how much money is coming into the country? How much money is leaving the country? And are this money touching the lives of the Namibian people? Because if you ask that question, then you get the answer, you know what to do, which means that we must focus on real deals, we must focus on real issue, we must renegotiate, we must go back to the table, and not only to go to the table to finish the deal, but we must go to the table with a clear mind, and also say that when it's coming to Namibia, for example, when it's coming to fishing sector, most of the challenges must be attached to how fishing sector can help us to solve our challenges. When we look at international trade balance and we look at the top trade export products, we compare with top trade, top import products in Namibia, we must all be able to compare to say, okay, if these are top trade export products from Namibia, what can we do to make sure that what is in that demand of making those products the top trade exports commodities from Namibia, can we expand, add value to those products, so that even when they are becoming top, we expand. When you are going to flood the international market, we are not only flooding the international market with raw materials, but we are flooding the international market with the finished products. Because the reason September trade balance is indicating that the top export commodities from Namibia is uranium. The reason they are doing so is because there is a demand. But what other things are they going to take from that we cannot do to make sure that we flood their market with a finished product so that we can get our whole shares? How do we speak of value addition if you are continue to sell aromat, if you are not building industries? But not everything went in vain. Not everything went in vain. Because when you look at Namibia, when you look at Southern African countries, there is quite a shift in terms of thinking of new leaders, post-colonial leaders. They are starting to rethink. Because I take a very clear observation. As a trained political analyst, my job is to study the system, the behaviors, functions of political actors, and also international affairs. But one thing I have seen and I have observed, and maybe you can also prove me right or wrong. One thing which I observed from our president is that compared to her predecessors, our president is not more into the liberation struggle conversation, although she acknowledged that. But that is a new way of thinking. She's not, I'm not saying she's not respecting the history of the liberation struggle, but she understood what is needed in the country at the moment. And when she is discussing, is talking about things of the present and the future. Yes, she understand, and she referenced people who assisted Namibia during the liberation struggle, but it's not an everyday thing. Look at the way she addressed events. Look at the way she addressed even political rallies. It's not about the liberation songs anymore. It's about what can we do after we obtain the victory of political freedom. And when it comes to mind, it's quite a very critical conversation to look into. And we are yet to see how things are going to turn out, particularly in the Ministry of Mines, Industries and Energy, particularly regarding the legal framework, either is oil and gas, either is electricity, either is mineral resources, either is negotiation. And it's also a question of concern and the question of asking to say, are those who are placed at those strategic positions having a futuristic approach, and how are they going to do it, particularly when it's coming to business unusual in management of mineral resources, in management of energy, and also in making sure that there is a beneficiation or there is a return into natural resources back to the people of Namibia. And that is a credit that we need to give to the president, because compared to other, compared to the predecessors, there was more of a content of let's think, let's speak about liberation struggle, let's thank the heroes and heroines, which is quite significant. But if it takes somebody to put a moratorium on state funeral and respect, take somebody who has bold moves and maybe also being hated from that economic recovery pronunciation, to say at this point in time, we must focus on driving economic priorities. Instead of increasing social affairs, we must focus on dealing with youth which are at the center of challenges in Namibia. Yeah, we are continuing with the conversation. We are continuing the conversation. We are not praising Angola, but it's also inevitable not to respect the bold decision that is being made to say, after all those years, after controlling, monopolizing the mining sector, particularly in diamond selling, particularly in diamond mining, exploration, extraction, value addition, and also pricing, it's now the time for those who have resources to come on the table and decide on the future of, what they have, on the future of their countries, and also on the future of their children. Because, imagine South Africa owning 100% of Anglo-American Platinum Company. Imagine the return, and imagine had or if that money used wisely, how many South Africans are going to be taken out of poverty. Imagine Namibia increasing its shares in uranium. I'm not saying they should take it, and you must get me correct. Legally increasing its shares in uranium. Rossing Foundation. At least to 15. Because we don't even have 6%. At least to 15, or 20, or 30, how is that going to turn around the economy of the country? How is that going to turn around the economy of the country? Because remember, in terms of selling, in terms of production, we are at number 3 in the world. But in terms of shares, we are less than 5%. Then imagine if you are at 30%. We are not going to have these things of borrowing 750 million US dollars. It's not going to happen. When you already have a strong revenue correction agency, we just need to increase its capacity and also strategies. Then there is no way that we are not going to get it right. If we are negotiating without a poverty mentality, there is no way we are going to suffer. So those are the conversations that we should extend and also ask questions. Because right now, in a democratic process, the good thing about democratic process is that you do not need force. You just need a legal mind, expert in mineral law. Not an expert in mineral law to consult so that you can get money and go home. That is not revolutionary. And I know a lot of people are doing it. You can be a legal expert in mineral laws, but your job is to consult with international investors, and through that is business, which is good. But we need a mineral lawyer who represents the government, who assists the government in drafting of mining framework, who is assisting the government in, revising of oil and gas policy, who is assisting in having an upper hand in a negotiation because you already have a mineral, who is assisting in reading and go deep into those acts and understand that, when it's coming to the national interest, the country must win. We need mineral lawyers who do not only use the loopholes to their advantage, but also block those loopholes so that those who are coming to negotiate with us should not use our laws against us. Because when you have that, then there is no way that you are going to suffer. And there is no way, actually, that we are going to our houses empty-handed. We are going to our house empty-handed because not necessarily because we do not know what we want. Because there are those that political analyst Saki Johannes used to say, there is always a black nigger that was mentioned to be between those who would want to drive priority areas, especially when it's coming to national resources and also when it comes to those who are in line with making deals, because there is always somebody. Because they are saying, if there is no enemy within, enemy outside can't do anything. And when Dr. Robia Mathira was interviewing him, one of the things that he mentioned, and he gave a good example to say, how come an army of less than 2,000 people exterminate over 80,000 people? He was making the reference of Namahera genocide. He said, no. He's not denouncing it. But he's saying, in some cases, if you do not have an enemy within, in some cases, colonialism, state capture, happen when you have somebody within who is working together just for his own goods, then the whole country is collapsed. Look at South African judicial or criminal justice system commission of inquiry. Look at the videos being presented where a whole senior government, a whole chief, a whole cop, a whole top cop is dining with a criminal, not only a criminal, it's a hardcore criminal. Look at the videos. Then you will be shocked. It's not only in the criminal justice system. It's everywhere. But now, the conversation for today that we are advancing is that for us to move forward in terms of reviving our management of natural resources, we need to make sure that we understand exactly where we are coming from. We understand exactly what we want. And we have a good understanding of what needs to be done, especially when it's coming to national interest. Because when when Zambia decided to buy over 20% in oil refinery projects in Angola. That is a long-term investment. It's not only for HH who is in power, but it's a long-term investment to say, in return, that investment will pay off. In return, that investment will definitely pay off, and the people of Zambia will be able to benefit. Because although Zambia have been the greatest producer of copper in Southern Africa and also in Africa, economic meltdown, economic challenges did not move far from Zambia. Look at Zambia from 1990 to 2004. Look at the governance of Zambia. Look at the economy of Zambia. Look at Zambia. Look at the case study of Zambia, World Bank, and IMF. Look at the case studies of Zambia and structural adjustment. When you read those case studies and you understand them properly, then you'll be able to realize that an uncalculated economic decision, an uncalculated economic decision will be able to cause serious challenges, and will also be able to force people to make rushed decisions because you just want a deal. But at the end of the day, who is going to suffer? Is the people. Is the state. So, dear listeners, we are coming to the end of our conversation. However, Morris is urging you to make sure that when it comes to the Villager newspaper, you like and share our page. Share the page of the Villager newspaper. And also make sure that when it comes to issues of economy, issues of governance, issues of trade, you have content and also context. Do not forget to like and share the page of Eagle FM so that we will continue to update you. Yes, we are always updating you. And the conversation that you are extending through comment, through input and ideas, we always make sure that we respect them.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Yes, we always make sure that we respect them. But for me, David Shombe, I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Uncle Fly with Omtuma program, and have an enjoyable weekend and take care of yourself. Don't do something that we could not do. Make sure that you take care of yourself, and bye bye for now. See you around next week, same time.